Welcome to the Fitness Oracle, the podcast where we bring you real conversations with real people just like you, with real stories just like yours. I'm your host, John Gonzalez, and today we have a remarkable journey of transformation, resilience, and fatherhood. Get ready to be inspired by the story of Brett Lechner, a dedicated fitness coach for men and fathers. Brett's journey began with a difficult choice, a choice to leave behind a path of partying and drinking that consumed over a decade of his life. But it wasn't until his daughter came into the picture that everything changed. Brett's narrative is a testament to the power of commitment and accountability. He discovered that without a plan, failure is almost certain. And if you don't hold true to your word, failure can become a constant companion. It was the innocent yet profound presence of his six-month-old daughter that sparked a transformation within Brett. He realized that to guide her towards greatness, he had to lead by example. In a world where distractions and vices can lead us astray, Brett's story resonates as a reminder of the importance of authenticity and setting a positive precedent. Throughout this episode, we'll dive deep into Brett's mission and purpose, exploring why people often turn to drugs and alcohol when they have their entire lives ahead of them. What if this was the day that everything changed? Join us as we uncover the significance of keeping one's word, the person who matters most when it comes to honoring commitments, and the remarkable impact of daily habits. Brett, the master of transformation, will share his insights on how to shift from detrimental habits to empowering ones, giving you actionable steps to make lasting changes in your life. We'll also touch upon the profound link between exercise and mental health. Brett's personal experience with different diets, including the carnivore and low-fat diets, has provided him with valuable takeaways that we can all learn from. Are you ready to take your journey towards a healthier, happier you to the next level? Join the Fitness Oracle newsletter today to access exclusive perks. As a subscriber, you'll be the first to know about our new episodes, gaining early access before the public. And that's not all. You'll have the chance for a one-on-one phone call with me to discuss your fitness goals and how we can help you achieve them. Plus, you'll receive free entry to our private community where we engage meaningful discussions about the episodes and how you're applying the lessons to your life. But the excitement doesn't stop there. As a member of our exclusive community, you'll gain access to upcoming programs that will further enhance your journey towards health and wellness. Ready to embark on a transformative journey? Join the Fitness Oracle newsletter today and start your journey towards a healthier, happier you. Remember, the story of transformation starts with one step, and your journey begins now. Brett, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me. I appreciate it. Good to be here.
It's great to have you. I can't wait to dig into this episode with you because we've got a lot of great stuff to cover. But before we do, I always ask these two questions before we get started. What first got you interested in this line of work when it comes to like personal training and, you know, breaking all these misconceptions that we have?
Oh, great question. So when I was younger, like I want to say 12, I'd gotten fat. And before that, you know, I was always the skinny kid, always out exercising and all. So, you know, I got pretty chunky, like played video games, you know, ate a bunch of Entenmann's, the standard bullshit backstory of getting fat. But then when I was 17, I lost it all, you know, just playing baseball, but then, you know, gained some of it back. But I had trained, you know, off and on, never took it seriously. And then one day, I think I was 19, I was in college. And I don't know if anybody remembers the Fitness RX magazines, But I saw a picture of this dude's body, and I was like, "Holy shit! I want to look like that." Not for any other reason, but it was just like some intuition, if you will, was like, that's the standard I have to achieve. And then it's just been an evolving thing until then. Like, obviously some other stuff, but that's exactly what got me started. And now it's just something that I can't ever let go of. And of course, everything's changed. Your reasoning changes and all, but that was the story.
That's very cool. Have there any been many moments where you said, you know what, screw all this. I just want to go grab a 9 to 5 and just numb out and not have to worry about any of, getting clients, doing this, doing that, and, trying to promote everything on, have you ever been any moments like that?
All the time. I think whoever doesn't tell you that is just, they're lying to you. Because it's always, you can't see it at first, but you see the frustration. And there's many times where I'm sure you can relate to this. You're like, F it. Like, I don't even want to do this anymore. And then you'll go sit down. And then after it's just an emotional reaction. But as soon as your emotions go down, and then maybe you even start to play with looking for another 9 to 5, you're like, I just can't do it. Like, this is the only thing I can do. Obviously, I'm doing something wrong. And if you can always turn it back to I'm doing something wrong, there's always a solution to it. So if you just like, maybe it's you got to do better marketing. You got to learn to sell better. Something. There's always something. But then you're like, you start to reinvigorate yourself. You're like, all right, I can do this. All I got to do is learn this, this, and this, and I can do it. And that's the cycle. Anybody that wants to leave their 9 to 5 to do this kind of stuff, that's the cycle. You're old. You're going to go through it. Even when you have highs, you're still going to go through it.
Yep, 100%, 100%. But this kind of goes in line with where we're trying to go with the topic of this show. But I want to go into a little bit more on, of your past, because your past really identifies of one, where we're going to go with this show, and two, you as a man. And it's not a storied tale. Like I said in the intro, you've suffered with addiction to alcoholism, just like pretty much most men in their 20s. And it wasn't up until your 6-year-old, your daughter came into the picture where you came out of it. How important was that moment in your life? And you talked also about leading by example. Can you talk a little bit more about that?
Yeah, absolutely. So I'll start with the addiction, and it's very easy. Most people think you have to innately have something wrong with you as to why you're covering something up, and it's not that simple. It can start off with many things, but then the more you evolve with substances, the easier it is to get down that path, and then that starts a perpetual cycle. Then there really must be something wrong with me, and then there really does become something wrong with you. So I'll start with, gosh, I didn't touch any, no, that's a lot. I touched, alcohol and some marijuana, like as a teenager, nothing real heavy, but I was always into sports, like just doing the work with that. I loved going out to the ball field and hitting baseballs, doing the practice, getting better. Like, that was a love for me. So up until I was 19, like, I never even touched hard alcohol, none of that stuff. And then got out of baseball and was, dating at the time, dating a chick, and she introduced me to some vodka. And I was like, at first I was like, it's not that good. Like, it's terrible. I don't know how anybody touches this stuff. And then if that leads to, okay, so now you're hanging out with some other buddies. And then I was like introduced to the party scene. I'd never really messed around with, I had a girlfriend, steady girlfriend growing up, but like I'd never partied with lots of chicks, like getting girls' attention, all that kind of stuff. And this is when I'm starting to really, get it working out. So I was reasonably fit, being a young man in your 20s, at the party scene, it's not hard to start, getting attention. So getting attention, starting to drink beer, I'm like, oh, this is great. What have I been doing my whole life? This is just amazing. So then that's all I wanted to do was party, like go to the gym and then party. And that's it. So then party, like just drinking, turn into one, a Friday night, a Saturday night became a Sunday, and then easily became a Thursday into Friday and Saturday, Sunday. And then sometimes, oh, it's Tuesday. I don't got to be work till like noon the next day. Let's go out and do Tuesday. And then from the beer comes, hard alcohol. Everybody's like wanting to do shots. Like at that time when Jaeger bombs were like really, really popular, everybody's wanting to do that. And then next thing you know, you're just like, time has passed you by and you're 30 years old and you're just drinking. Like you're always finding a reason to drink, go to, clubs, all that kind of stuff. So fast forward, and you don't ever really think you have a problem. You don't. Like you're like, oh, I got this handled. I got this handled. Until you don't, you realize one day you don't have it handled. Right? Everything's an excuse to do that. You can find some joy in something, but then it's already been programmed in your subconscious. Oh my, like to self-sabotage at that point. Like, oh, this is going on track for me. You know what? Let's celebrate. Let's go have a drink. I can handle it. I'll just have a couple beer. I'll just have six packs. Next thing you know, it's the middle of the night. You've already gotten a DUI by this point. You're going up to the package store, just getting nips and all this kind of stuff. And you wake up the next day, feel horrible. You had a fight with your significant other. And it's like, it just doesn't stop. But then you're like, I'm not doing it again. And then 3 days later, go by. You're in your 30s at this point. It takes, a few days to recover from a hangover. Like, oh, I'm feeling good again. And then next thing you know, when we get a six pack, starts the whole cycle again. So that was the story, just got a couple DUI. No, not a couple. I got a DUI. Couple bad things happen, and that's how it is. That's how it starts out with most people. Some people are fortunate to realize that they got a problem. Some people realize that they can never get control of it.
Well, with me it was more on the lines of I lost my job and I couldn't afford to go out with my friends anymore. I couldn't drink anymore and I was stuck in my house. But a lot of men, they go through life like they're in their well into their 40s, near their 50s, and they still don't see that there's a problem. How can you? And when you do point it out to them, they get defensive like you did and say, no, there's no problem. I got this. I got this. I got this. Like I got this. There's no way that I have a problem. How do you point it out to them?
Oh, nice. See, that's a great question, and it's still tough to this day because I still, still have a good buddy who likes to, drink and do all that. And he'll be like, why am I attracting these type of girls that just, seem to have issues? And I'm like, well, with the law of attraction, it's just you're reflecting what you are is just coming back to you. So you want to take this night and this night to drink and all, you're just going to get that. You're like, oh, yeah, but I don't think I have a problem. And it's like, okay, you don't think, but nobody realizes they have a problem until they realize it themselves. And it always takes some sort of event to happen where, like, all right, I got a problem. And that was, ties back into that second question that you asked me, leading by example. So I remember fully when I just fully admitted to myself that I had the problem was my daughter was like 6 months old at the time. And there was never a prouder moment that I've had in my life. And I remember she was just sleeping or just, watching over her in amazement. And I was drinking a beer at the time. And then all of a sudden, it just hit me. Like, if I want her to be great, I have to lead by example. And from there, I just stopped. Didn't completely stop. Like, there was 3 months, I always tried to, it seemed like every 3 months, I would see if I could drink and then, play it off like nothing happened. I just couldn't do it. Every time, like, I realized that. That day, I did have a problem. I had to stop. But then every time I say it, I would just do it, 3 months and then just try to have a beer or two. I could never stop. And so I realized, like, I'm the type of person that once I get started, I can't stop. So it takes a really hard look within.
Were there a bunch of like habits that you put into your daily life to help you stay focused? Because I used to be like you too. I used to drink one or two. I'm like, I got this. This is no problem. Next thing you know, I got like 12 in me, and it's like I'm dancing Greek dances to English songs, and it's like there's tons of stories about me out there. So, because the amount of alcohol I used to drink, but was there any daily habits that you used to put in to help you? Like I said before, like to help you stay focused to say, okay, I don't need this right now. I'm just gonna focus on doing this task.
And this is, that's a cr another great question. And it's what I always tell people, it doesn't matter where you are in life, what you want to do, doesn't matter. It works for everything. So what helped me was two things. I started with two things. I wrote down no smoking because I was a heavy cigarette smoker and no drinking. Again, every night before I went to sleep, I wrote just those two things down. That's what I had to do the next day. Don't smoke, don't drink. At the end of the day, before I go to bed, I could cross those off, start the list all over again for the next day. And after 3 or 4 days, you're like, it really empowers you. You feel really good. Like, yes, you feel good not drinking and not smoking, but the control aspect that you have over your own self that you don't even realize you have until you can visualize you're seeing you took these actions and now you can cross those off. It gets immediate serotonin hit in your brain as soon as you cross those off, and you're like, wow, I'm gonna be okay. And then from there, it's just like anything that you do, you're not gonna, if you want to run a marathon, you're not gonna go run 26 miles on the get-go. You gotta start off by 1 mile or even a half mile at the time. So from there, I just started, two until it became like so easy. Like I took no willpower, nothing. It was just became a habit. And then I started adding another one and then another one. And next thing you know, you've got your day filled up with a bunch of stuff that you have to get done. You don't even think about drinking. You don't even think about smoking. You don't even think about any of that. You just think about that's what I got to get done. And I know every time I cross that off my list, I'm happy. Like that's, I've accomplished something. And then from there, you're happy. That makes me a better father. Like I don't have to worry about nothing. I've accomplished what I think. I don't even have to think about drinking. I can just spend time with my daughter. And business, as crazy as things get, I know the one thing that you can only control is the things you got to get done for that day. And that's it. And just let the chips fall where they may at that point.
It's interesting because sometimes a lot of people, myself included, fall off the wagon. Well, can you tell somebody who has fallen off the wagons and is really beating themselves up over it, saying that, you know what, I'm not good enough to do this. I put on too much, they just keep up coming with negative excuses for themselves to fall back into their bad habits.
Oh, yeah. So one thing that I usually just ask somebody is, what'd you learn? Because it's easy to, I know it's really easy, especially in the coaching business, to be like, dude, you gotta stop being a pussy and just get on with your life and do it. And that's just counterintuitive to anything. So if you just ask, a simple question like, what'd you learn? It forces somebody to stop with the negative self-talk and to look at that situation objectively. Like, what did I learn? Okay, I learned that, this event, like, I had some sort of emotional reaction. Like, things weren't working. Like, my diet was, I couldn't take the cravings. I had to get off. I had to, binge eat or whatever. Okay, so then what'd you learn? I learned that maybe my calories are too low. Maybe I gotta reassess that and re-up my calories and take a different approach. And from there, you can start all over and not beat yourself up.
Very
And,
cool.
people want to act like there's something wrong with them if they fall off the wagon. Instead of thinking like, oh, there's something wrong with me, like maybe I was meant to fall off that wagon so I can learn something. It's always a learning experience.
I love that. I love that. Maybe you were supposed to fall off so you can learn. Because a lot of times we fall and we don't like where we fall, right? Because sometimes when we fall, we land like worse than flat on your ass, worse than it. Like,
Oh, yeah.
and it can be very hard for somebody, especially a man who feels like he doesn't have that support system to reach out to somebody, say, hey, you know what? It's hard. It's very hard for me right now. I can't see the light of day.
Yes. And anybody that's, done the podcasting journey, the entrepreneurial journey, all of it, everybody's been there. Everybody's been there. And the biggest thing I can tell people that is just read books. Like, sometimes you're not going to have any of those friends. You're not going to know anybody like that. But you can always read a book. Somebody has gone through what you're going through. That's it. Like, read a book. Whatever you think you have going on, you can get over it. Just read a book. It brings more to you than anything else will.
How important is for you to identify what your purpose is and stay in line with it?
Without no mission, you just fill yourself with everything else. Like a man, he has to have a purpose. And it doesn't have to be like, I got to save the world from this, that. Like, purposes and missions evolve. Everything evolves. But one thing, it could be like, if you want to stop drinking, that's your mission. Okay, I have to stop drinking so I can help somebody else stop drinking. And then that'll evolve. Maybe you want to become a counselor, or maybe you're like, okay, I had to stop drinking and I want to, retake a sport, free up a sport. And then that becomes your mission, helping people with that sport. I stopped drinking so I could help people with that sport. It's always evolving.
The
And it's
reason why
always
I asked is because you posted something on Instagram, and I was watching you some of your Instagram posts, and amazing. I think everybody should go and follow you and watch some of your Instagram stuff because it's really good. But you talked about this. You talked about why people turn to drugs and alcohol as if, I'm paraphrasing, as if they have their entire lives ahead of them. Now,
Yes.
and you come up to the point where you say, okay, you know what? I'll just do it tomorrow. I'll just do it tomorrow. I'll just do it tomorrow. But what they don't understand is tomorrow might never come.
Right. And it might not, like, even after we get off this, or who knows, like, who knows if something's gonna, some sort of global catastrophe is gonna happen. We never know. We never know. So there is never tomorrow. Like, I'm sure you've heard it in all the Rocky movies and all of this kind of stuff. It's a cliche. There is no tomorrow. But why are you going to wait? Why wait? Like, I know for myself, if I say I'm going to do things tomorrow, then I know like my subconscious is going to eat at me, my conscious is going to eat at me, and I'm not going to be able to perform how I can perform. It's all about building habits also. So if you say I'm going to wait till tomorrow, like it's really easy to feel empowered with that. Like I'll wait till tomorrow. So let's just say you do wait till tomorrow. Like many of us have, we've all guilty of doing it. Then tomorrow comes and soon we were empowered the night before to do it. And then we wake up like, oh, that easily becomes another habit of, you know what? I'll do it tomorrow. Do it tomorrow. And then your whole tomorrow becomes an existent of everything that you're ever going to do in life becomes, I'll just do it tomorrow. And nothing will ever get done.
It almost sounds like a cop out. I'm guilty of this myself. I'm guilty just as much as any man or woman out there listening to this. I'm guilty of this myself. I told myself that I'm going to run 60K every month until the end of November for November. And I have run 2.6 miles so far. So. And I keep telling myself, you know what? I'm gonna catch up this week. I'm gonna catch up this week, and it never happens. Is something being able to align yourself to a bigger purpose and holding yourself accountable to not just yourself, but to other people, is that a better way to help you get out of that kind of mentality?
Yeah, there's a little bit of both. Like there's holding yourself accountable to other people and to yourself. You know, it's a revolving door. So if you keep putting things off, it's just a perpetual cycle to give yourself an option to go back to substance abuse or any kind of, you know, substance abuse is, you know, could be anything or any like vice abuse. But if you don't like, and what I mean by that is if you don't hold your word to yourself, it's like, you know, we do this podcast today. If I s said I was going to do it, but then if I didn't show up, you're like, you know what? I can't trust that guy. Can't trust that guy. So that would be your bias towards me all the time. Like, I can never trust that guy. So now flip it onto yourself because your subconscious has cannot differentiate anything. Flip it onto yourself. How many times do you say, I'll just do it tomorrow? And that you realize you don't like yourself because you don't trust yourself. Now add that up over the course of how many times you said you were going to do it tomorrow. And you'll find that, holy shit, I've been lying to myself all these times, all these years. No wonder I don't like myself. No wonder I don't have confidence in myself. No wonder I fall off the wagon all the time. It's because I'm just always, you know, self-sabotaging because I can never hold to my word.
How important is it to keep your word, not just to other people, but to yourself as well? This kind of goes into a question I have for later on the show. So we'll kind of just
Absolutely.
add it to here.
Absolutely. Okay. So, do you know anybody that you can trust that, like, I know that dude's always going to hold that word? Like, I can always trust him with everything because he always says what he's going to do. Do you know anybody like that? Most
Me
people don't.
personally, no.
Let me ask you a better question. Do you want to know somebody like that?
Yes.
Exactly. Now, imagine if you flip that again back to yourself. You are that person. Imagine how much you're going to like yourself. No matter all the times you didn't want to do something, you just did it because that's what you said you were going to do. It doesn't matter how, you know, shitty of a job it may be, you know, things can always be fixed. But the one thing you can always fall back on is you have 100% trust in yourself because you did what you said you were going to do. And everybody wants to have that kind of friend. Everybody. But if you're that friend for yourself, imagine how good you're going to feel every day. even in the days where it's not the greatest of days, you still have yourself to rely on because you always hold to what you said you're going to do.
Now, that can be exhausting because it almost sounds like something I came across a couple of years ago. Always being able to say yes to everything that comes your way. Now, that's exhausting for somebody to keep saying yes, or you know what, this person asked me to do it, I have to do it, or this person asked me to do that, I have to do it. How do you manage that?
Well, see, that's a different thing. Like, so, if I, let's just take, your business, you have this and this done. Like, I have to get these things done today. If I ask you, hey, can you come over and help me move or do this? Obviously, the reasonable thing is, hey, I can't do that today. I have this and this going. It doesn't mean that you're not holding accountable to your word or to them. It's you're being honest. I can't do that right now because I have this and this going on. There's a difference between saying yes to other people and holding your word to everything that you said internally that you were going to do for your whatever it is. Like, when I said I was going to take my daughter to ice cream, no matter, I didn't want to do it. I did that because that's what I said I was going to do. Or if I said I was going to exercise today, do what, squats, and I really don't want to do squats today. Oh, I don't want to do squats today, but I did it anyways because that's what I said I was going to do. I'm going to leave all those situations feeling really great because I held to what I said I was going to do. And sure, it can get exhausting. Like there's been plenty of times where I'm just like, fuck, man, why did I say I would do that? But that's the character that you are now. You built that in yourself. And so everybody that you come across is know that's who you are. And that's going to open so many doors for you. You have no idea, regardless, big or small. Somebody's going to be like, I can get behind that dude because he always holds true to what he says.
So it's almost like saying, like, sometimes no is your yes.
You have to. Yeah. I mean, you have to. Like, if you can't have, I'm sure there's lots of people that want to come on your podcast. You can't say yes to all of them because I mean you have time to edit other things and you have to do other things to your business. So there's just you can't theoretically you could say yes, but are you ever gonna get everything done that you need to get done? No. So yeah,
There's
you have to
definitely
say
gonna,
no to say yes.
yeah, there's definitely gonna be things that are gonna be falling through the cracks if I say yes to everybody that comes on, that wants to come on. Definitely. So,
Which
like,
makes you
sorry.
even more of a stand. It makes you even more of a stand-up person, as opposed to saying, "No, I can't do that, and I got this going on." Somebody will understand that, as opposed to you saying yes, and then you're looking at that, and I can't do that, and you don't show up. Then somebody's like, "Oh, well, you just kind of screwed yourself because you said yes and didn't follow through."
And to be fully transparent, it has happened to me in the past. And the way that I found out is exactly what you're trying to say right now, and it's setting limits for yourself. How do you help somebody identify those limits within themselves so that they can be that stand-up man for themselves, for let's say something simple? I don't want to call it simple, but something as like, stop drinking or stop smoking, because we all think it's so hard to do. I've done both, so.
Yeah. So everybody has their way, but for me, that just, I found the best way was if you write it down, you're looking at it. There's something about the mind and writing something down, the connection there. It's almost like, there's one thing to have internal talks, but there's another thing to write it down and know that that's on your mind. You've read it down. Like, I can't break that. If I break that, I know I'm going to feel, really shitty inside. The one thing I can tell them, if you write it down, write things down so you know what you have. You can write your obligations down, what you have to complete, and it's always in front of you. You can't forget it.
So I normally save this question towards the end of the show, but it's just begging me to ask because it just fits so perfectly. What's more important to a man, his word or his purpose?
Ooh, that's an excellent question. Excellent question. Wow. His word. Because his word then becomes the purpose. He holds his word for his purpose.
Very cool. Very cool. Let's switch gears a little bit and talk a little bit more about exercise. When it comes to mental health, I have found that exercise, going in the gym, actually helps drastically. How have you seen it in your life and in your clients' journeys?
It's night and day. It's the difference between continuing having, you know, feeling bad and feeling good. Like, so not every day I want to go to the gym. Not every day I think I have time to go to the gym. But I know no matter what, like, situation, if I'm feeling bad, I know if I go to the gym and at least get some sort of pump going, I feel excellent. And then I can figure out everything else. If I'm feeling down, just go to the gym. Or you don't even have to go to the gym. Just doing some sort of physical activity, get your mind altered to a better state. From there, anything else can be worked on.
Mm-hmm. So yeah, we were talking about the carnivore diet. I know my brother-in-law is a huge fan of the carnivore diet. You did a couple of blood tests and you said that all your cholesterol levels were perfect. Your blood sugar was perfect. And it kind of goes against about what everything that, you know, us personal trainers and all the health and wellness specialists talk about, where it's like, you know what, you have to eat a balanced diet of carbs and this and that and grains. And the carnivore diet is just meat. So what was your experience with a carnivore diet? And would you recommend people to go on it?
So I'm a big believer in not just, you know, going with the next trend or whatnot. I always, that's just been like how I say your mission and purpose evolves. I've always done all sorts of diets, you know, not just from what other people say, but I always like to see if it works on myself, because there's what other people tell me and then there's my own actual proof of doing it myself and seeing results and what it does for myself. So with the carnivore diet, was at first it started off, you know, really good, you know, and that could be placebo. I don't know. But, you know, I just felt really good. And then, you know, 3 months into it, I got really lean. But, you know, I've been really lean before on all other diets. But I am getting really lean. I was like, oh, I'm just, you know, really lethargic and all, not feeling great. And now all I want is, you know, is a carbohydrate after a while. After a while, I want a carbohydrate. And then you have that carbohydrate. It's just opens Pandora's box. So I've done that, you know, and I did the carnivore diet for like maybe 2 years. So it's not just like, oh, I tried the carnivore diet, these are my results. No, I did it for 2 years, you know, and I can answer, you know, objectively, like with the carnivore diet, for some people, they're able to stay on. I would recommend somebody the carnivore diet is if they've tried so many things to, you know, get their health in order, you know, from a medical standpoint and some sort of skin conditions. Just take it from, you know, just meat based, you know, do that for like a week, see how you feel, see if symptoms start clearing up, and then start, you know, adding things back in.
But the quality of the meat is also important as well. Like, you can't just go like to Costco and pick up like, you know, heavily farmed, massively farmed meats. If I know it's hard to get, but like wild meat, I would assume wild meat would be the best.
You know, that's funny. I actually thought that too. Like, I was like, you know, there's got to be some, and there is a difference in taste wise for sure. Like grass fed, you know, ribeye tastes way better than regular, than a, you know, store, regular store bought ribeye. without a doubt. Now, I don't know how much difference it's going to make in your body. And I had heard Mark Sisson talk about this, that it doesn't really matter. Like it's going to break down in your system the same way. So I didn't really notice too much, but as far as the taste, huge difference. Huge difference. Going for taste, definitely. As far as it going in your body, I don't really know. And that's, how I discovered how what I'm on now. But at the end of the day, protein's going to break down into your body, and protein, fat, carbohydrate.
It's awesome that you brought up Mark Sisson, because I'm a huge fan of his as well. Like the paleo, not the paleo, the Primal Blueprint. Primal Blueprint is one of my favorite go-to books to tell people. But he also talks about the studies that Dr. Weston A. Price and Dr. Francis M. Pottinger has done, and I find them fascinating, especially with the genetic historical backing when it comes to humans. And there's studies, especially Dr. Price's studies, when it came to geolocation. Do you also feel that it's beneficial for people to be eating according to what their ancestors ate?
In a way, and I mean that is because how are you and I to really know what we really ate? If you're familiar with history, and going back to being a nerd to all that kind of stuff. And there's all sorts of, people out there that claim that, like 12,000 years ago, another asteroid hit with the Younger Dreyfus period that wiped out, some stuff. So who's to really know what was really here for our ancestors? Because if you just look at the pyramids, we don't even know how those were built. We have no idea. We have no idea what kind of livestock was there at that time. So it's really hard to, say we were meant to eat this, and this. One thing, that we can, establish is our body needs protein, our body needs fat, our body doesn't, you could say that it does need carbohydrate, but we can obviously live not having it. Of course, your testosterone for a dude takes a hit if you don't eat carbohydrates, but it's all like subjective at that point, what really it. But I do feel like there's benefits in eating food that is close to one ingredient as possible, for sure. And especially like tough meats, so that we can, your teeth, and jawline can structure how it's supposed to.
Well, for me, it's easy. I'm 66% Greek, and the other 33% is Balkan, so I'm 100% Balkan. So it's easy, and I know what the Greek diet was in, let's say, going back to the 1700s. It wasn't like a lot of people think. It's heavy meats and this. It wasn't that. It was very fish based, very veggie. We had a lot of veggies, fruits, vegetables. Very rarely we had meats. So for me, it's pretty easy. I know there's a lot of people in North America that it's like so many different cultures involved into creating that one unique human being. So I can see how difficult it can be sometimes, especially with the genes.
Oh my God, it's so political. Like I understand, people, with culture, with the food and all, but sometimes it just gets so political, and it's like, dude, everybody has their own way of wanting to do something. So if you don't like it, dude, you can go down the road and find somebody else that you do like. It's very, like, there's no one size fits all.
I 100% agree with you. And I like how you just say, just keep it to one ingredient, because it's just simpler that way. I mean, an apple is an apple. You know, a steak is a steak. You can't go wrong with it.
Right. And it's, It's just, you know, not, I don't want to get too much into it because, you know, we're helping people out with this, but, you know, it's just, you see so many people online that talk about, oh, this ingredient will cause this. And that, dude, none of these people that say this stuff has really ever read a study in their life. Never. And so, at the end of the day, I'm a big believer in, dude, if you want, like, I don't know, a piece of bread, you know, from the store that has all sorts of ingredients, like, dude, if that's within your calorie range and you can stay on your diet and that's what you feel like is going to get you to not cheat on your diet, please go eat it. Like, it's not going to, you're not going to grow a third arm. You're not going to, you know, have to be rushed to the hospital. You're going to be all right.
So you're a big believer in calorie counting. That's exhausting. I tried that once, and that is very exhausting trying to count all your calories. What's an easy way to do something like that?
So macronutrient counting, you know, and it's just the easier way of counting calories. So it's, you know, protein, you know, for myself, I usually stick with around 200 grams of protein, you know, a little over 200 grams of carbs, and fat, you know, varies from like 45 to sometimes 70, 80. But that's, you know, that's for me. And so just counting those macros, like, you just, you know, it's just once you learn to have it, it becomes so easy. You know, like, so today I had oatmeal this morning. So, you know, I like to keep it very simple. I know my oatmeal comes in the packets. I know it's measured out already. It's already taken the workout for me. Three packets equals this. Boom. 2 tablespoons of peanut butter. Boom. And 4 ounces of chicken. I know exactly the macros on that. Easy. And you can just replicate that how many meals you do. So
Very
at
cool.
first it could be exhausting, but then I teach you this. It's very, it becomes very simple.
That's cool because simplicity is the best, especially when people are have that are depressed or having a hard time mentally. It's like they have a tendency of just taking on the entire world, and it feels like a tsunami of stuff. So keeping it simple is great. And I love how you keep it simple. Like one packet of oatmeal is this, 4 ounces is this, and you're good to go. Two scoops of peanut butter is that. So yeah, we're coming close to the end of the show. And these are the 9 questions. It's 10, but I asked one of them earlier in the show that I ask all my guests, and I'd like to get your perspective on these 9 topics. With the increase in people suffering from depression from the past uncertainty that we've lived through, what could be the one thing that you could tell them to keep their hopes up?
The future. So they're upset and angry about something. Figure that out, and that's usually what you can start with your purpose and mission on. So that can be easy. So let's say, you know, let's say they're listening to this podcast and they're like, something's angry. I'm like, you know what? He could be talking a better way. He could be doing this better. Boom. There you go. Okay. So then explain to people how they could be doing that better. Make some content out of that. Next thing you know, you got a purpose. So whatever angers you, that's probably your purpose. You know, for me, you know, mostly with the fitness industry, it makes me angry because a lot of it's just nuts. So just like to simplify it. Makes me angry, so I simplify it.
You and me both on that one. What's the one thing that you could do daily that amplifies your ability to stay focused?
Write things down before you go to bed. Have a plan for what you do the next day. It keeps you focused. It's on your mind. Even if you don't want it to be on your mind, it's on your mind.
If you could pick up the phone right now and call yourself at 20 years old, what would you tell yourself?
It's going to be frustrating times that you're meant to go through those frustrating times. Don't ever think you want to change the past. Those times are there for you to learn.
Looking back, would you change anything?
No, it's funny. I actually just recorded a short podcast for my podcast that the other day because I was just watching Back to the Future with my daughter, getting her, accustomed to old classic movies. And I just, recorded that. Most of us want to go back and change the future and change the past to what we, want it to be. But every single time that, we've had a miscue, something really tragic happened or whatever, there was some great lesson there for us to learn. We just have to look at it.
What scares you?
Losing my daughter.
Where do you see your Instagram account, Brett Lechner, at Brett Lechner, in the next 5 years?
The number one fitness coach on the planet.
Well, how about you personally? Where do you see yourself personally in the next 5 years?
What are my daughters doing? I think about all of, stuff that money can get you and all. But I just want to, hopefully I'm like a good father that she's proud of. That's where I always envision myself.
Where can people find more about you?
You go to my Instagram page, at Brett Lechner. It's BrettLechnar.
Cool. And we will post that link with the show notes below so everybody has access to your Instagram account. And I highly recommend people go check it out because it's really good. It's really simple tips and tricks that people can implement right now. So we'll do that.
Also, there's a guy who I know that, if you don't mind me shooting out his Instagram handle, he's really good with content, like how you make your stories and all that kind of stuff. He's at Let's Never Quit. You just send him a DM. He's really good with doing that kind of stuff, getting you handled on your Instagrams and all that kind of stuff.
Very cool. Very cool. Any final thoughts?
If you're listening to the show and you feel like, you're in the dumps or whatnot, things are going to get better. Like, there's something there is your mission, is your purpose. Always something there. Something that you want to change becomes your mission and purpose.
Brett, thank you so much for coming on the show. Your story is very inspiring, to go from alcoholism and smoking to complete sobriety to, being a role model for your daughter. It's something another man can look at and say, you know what, I can do this too. And I find that inspirational. For coming from a man who doesn't have his own kids, I will never know what that is, what that's like. So seeing men like you come up out of the ashes and be the man that you are, not for yourself, but for other people, is very inspiring. So thank you so much. Thank you so much for your journey. Thank you so much for all the stuff that you do and everything that you're going to be doing, because it's going to be awesome. So thanks.
Thanks for having me. Appreciate it.
Going through hard times is just a test. What you need to know is that when you get out of whatever you're going through, you will be stronger than ever before, and you don't need to go through it alone. Always know that you are not alone. Stay tuned for more real people with amazing stories that are just like yours. Until then, to everyone out there listening, I wish you a good morning, good afternoon, or good night wherever you may be in this crazy world. Hey guys, John from Resilient Reboot Productions and the Fitness Oracle. I just wanted to thank you for watching this episode, and I really do hope that you enjoyed it. Please don't forget to subscribe, hit that bell, and share this episode if you are watching this on YouTube or on Rumble. If you are listening to this on iTunes, Spotify, Google Podcasts, Breaker FM, or whatever streaming service that you may be using, please give us a 5-star rating and a positive review, as it will help us reach out to more people that are suffering from mental health issues. Now, if you haven't done so already, I am offering access to a free weekly newsletter that we send out every Sunday, and it's jam-packed with podcasting tips and health and wellness tips to keep you balanced in the podcasting and content creating space. So if you haven't done so already, sign up to this free newsletter. It's totally free, and it also gives you access to the Fitness Oracle private community in Mighty Networks, where we talk about this episode. We talk about how you have implemented these lessons that you've picked up in your life and how it's impacted your life. And we are working on a lot of great other programs and support systems for you guys to be able to access. So if you haven't done so already, sign up to the newsletter, and I'll see you guys on the inside.